Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For any of your garage door needs, such as purchase, install, or service and repairs, Harold's Garage Doors is your one-stop shop in North Mississippi. Don't let a faulty garage door disrupt your day. Call Harold's Garage Doors today at 662-223-0748.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Thursday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Got a lot to talk about tonight. So there's, I don't know if you guys knew this, a big basketball game on Saturday evening that we got to discuss. One that is absolutely big for our radio audience for sure, but also big for Ole Miss and Mississippi State, frankly, for separate reasons. And so we'll talk about that. We will also talk about a portal target, a rather significant one for Ole Miss that is making his announcement on Saturday. And if they're able to lock that up, and apparently people feel good about Ole Miss's ability to lock that up, then you should, I think, like the defensive portal haul quite a bit. And then Santarian Perkins had surgery, although I'm not sure that the reaction to that news was proportionate to what the news actually means. So we'll talk about all that tonight on this edition, again, of the Rebel Report. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. I'm going to start doing some what I'm going to call off-topic stuff, just uploading some thoughts about other things now that we are away from football. And I know that basketball is poised to have a big season, and baseball is inside of 30 days away. There's other stuff going on in sports, and so I might just record some thoughts and upload that in the feed. So if you want more of me, you'll get it. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Don't forget to like all that good stuff on this video as well. And before we get into anything else, I want to tell you that this edition and every edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm, if you're anywhere in Mississippi, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere for personal injury. So if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up, call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. He will take care of you. 662-397-9799. Also, small business. If you're a small business owner and you need some legal advice about something, or you want to start a small business and you don't really know how to cross your T's and dot your I's from a legal perspective, call that number, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. So what a fascinating basketball game this is going to be on Saturday. And frankly, I'm really excited to watch it. I know it's great for content for what we do on the radio every day, but obviously from the Ole Miss perspective as well, this is a really big game. Two ranked teams. This doesn't happen in this rivalry. Two teams being ranked at the same time. And two teams that are poised to make the tournament. I think that these are two really good basketball teams. I know State has lost their last couple and Auburn really kind of beat them down, but I think that this is a good Mississippi State basketball team as well. So there's a lot of like outside implications on this game away from the rivalry, right? Because it's tournament resume building, different. This is an important game or an opportunity for Ole Miss more so than it is kind of a desperate Mississippi State team. So Ole Miss this week, just getting one is huge before they come back home and host Texas A&M. The fact that they went to Alabama and got that win makes Saturday a true free shot. I mean, Ole Miss should be very loose. The pressure is very off of Ole Miss. Going 1-1 this week is massive, regardless of where the one came from. So it's a big opportunity. It's a winnable game. Ole Miss should be very confident going into this game in all of those things. I'm not saying that you just, you know, a win or a loss doesn't matter at all and who cares and just throw a parade regardless, but the pressure is completely off of Ole Miss in this game. And the pressure is totally on Mississippi State. They are at home, obviously. They've lost their last two games. Their best player is struggling offensively. And oh, by the way, after Ole Miss, it's Tennessee. So if they can't get this win on Saturday, suddenly you're looking at an opportunity to lose four straight. And while I think the resume is going to be good enough, and I think the team is good enough for them to, you know, get to that magic number of eight and make the tournament, suddenly, I mean, your backs are already kind of against the wall. Suddenly, you're really staring down the barrel of a slide, and they can't afford that. So there's more pressure on Mississippi State in this game. It's not a must win, but it's a you got to kind of win this one. And I'm curious to see how they're going to respond to losing each of the last two games. There's a lot of things that I'm watching for in this game, but two in particular, and they're the most obvious, right? It's Josh Hubbard and how Ole Miss defends him and how Mississippi State tries to get him going again. As you guys saw, Ole Miss, more specifically, Padula and Morrell put the clamps on Sears against Alabama and really locked him down and played great defense. And Ole Miss overall is a really good defensive basketball team. So how Ole Miss plans on attacking specifically Josh Hubbard, he is their highest volume scorer, and he averages 17 a game. I mean, he had, if you look at just points, you would think he had a good game on Tuesday night, but he did not. His shooting percentages have been quite bad for a little while now, but he did get to the free throw line against Auburn, which is where he got 11 of his points on Tuesday, but he's struggling right now. And so how will Ole Miss attack him? They will not go underneath the single screen. I assume it will be a game plan that's kind of similar to the one that they threw at Alabama the other night. But then for Mississippi State, it's how are you going to try to get him going again? Because this team, this state team is, I don't think that they're going to win many games with Hubbard shooting at such a high volume with such a low efficiency. And so are they going to try to do a lot of sets to get him the basketball? Kugel's going to be back, I think, for state. So that helps free him up to play off ball more. He's had to play a lot of point guard, and I don't think that that's really the role that he is best utilized, but they kind of have to, with that injury, they kind of have to force him into that role. But how are they going to try to get him good looks? How are they going to try to get him going downhill at the basket against this Ole Miss defense that is very equipped to stop somebody like him? So the chess match with Jans and Beard and Morrell and Padula and whoever else they have guarding Hubbard, and how State's going to try to get him open looks and get him going a little bit, because he's in a slump or he's outright just struggling right now for State. So I'm really looking at that. They're very capable of shutting him down, though. So Jans is going to have to make a concerted effort to help get him going. And then the other thing, of course, is Malik Dia and what Mississippi State does to try to stop him. Because as we talk about, Dia can beat you in every way offensively. His skill set offensively is quite good. It's very balanced too. So how does Mississippi State try to defend him? I would assume that they're going to, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm certainly not a coach, but I think Cam Matthews is Mississippi State's best opportunity to stop Malik Dia. Now, the problem with that is he gives up some size on the block with Dia. Dia's bigger than Matthews, so maybe that's the risk that they run. But I think Matthews is the only guy for State that can present the best athletic challenge to Dia, guarding him at every level. Matthews can come out and guard the perimeter. He's athletic enough to do it. I don't think any of State's bigs can step out and guard Dia, especially when he puts the ball on the floor and attacks the basket. I don't think State has the bigs that can stretch out and defend him that way. So I think that you're going to have Matthews. I think that that's their best bet to try to slow down Dia, because I think he gives them the best opportunity to match up athletically at every level, on the outside, mid-range, and, of course, at the basket. I don't think they've got the bigs that can step out and guard him that way. So those are the matchups that I'm watching for the most. Obviously, Ole Miss's best player in conference play and how State tries to defend him, and Mississippi State's best player, although not in conference play, and how Ole Miss tries to defend him and what State does to try to free him up and get him going. Because he's been, if you want to call it a slump, you call it a slump, he's been slumping, and they need him if they're going to win this game. They already have the home court advantage. They are a little bit desperate. This is a big, big, big game for Mississippi State, a highly important game for Mississippi State, and a free shot for Ole Miss getting back to home with this road trip at 1-1 is huge, regardless of what happens on Saturday. Next, major portal defensive backs decision is imminent. It's coming up on Saturday. Thaddeus Dixon, the Washington transfer, is apparently down to Ole Miss, North Carolina, or I guess possibly the return to Washington. I know that there are a lot of Ole Miss people that are confident that that it's done and that they're just waiting for the announcement to happen on Saturday. I don't know if that's true or not. I do know, though, that a guy like him is one of the players that I was talking about that they don't have enough of in this class. And look, he may not work out, and guys that you're not like through the roof on may work out, right? It kind of works that way. I've mentioned before, Trey Harris was not Ole Miss's prized receiver in the portal in his class. It was somebody else, but it ended up being Trey Harris being that guy. So maybe that's the case here. But when you look at Ole Miss's portal class, there's a lot of, you know, this guy projects well if he takes a step forward, like what they've gotten on the defensive line. This guy was, you know, an honorable mention All-American in the Sun Belt at Marshall. Can he take the next step, or like, can he adapt well to bigger, stronger, and faster players in the SEC? There's a lot of that in this class. I've mentioned before, I think Stribling is a guy that you plug and play, and he's going to be an instant impact guy without any of those caveats. Thaddeus Dixon is one of those guys, I think, for Ole Miss. And there hasn't been many guys like him in the transfer portal, where I think that when you sign somebody like him, he comes in and you can almost guarantee plug and play starting defensive back, and he's capable and athletic enough to match up in the SEC. Is he Trey Amos? I don't know. I don't think maybe he's that good, but he is most definitely one of the guys on paper in the class, if Ole Miss is able to lock him up, that you look at and think, damn, that was a good pickup. Forgive my language, but that was a really good pickup for Ole Miss if they're able to lock that guy down, because I think that he has the ability to come in and step in right away and match up physically without any of the caveats. So if they pull that off, that will be a big pickup. Of course, we'll talk about that on Saturday if they're able to pull that off, but that is one of the few guys available in the portal that has that you got a quality instant impact type player. And again, every player in this class could end up working out, but a lot of them have the caveats. Princely's brother is, hey, physically he looks the part, but you know, can they unlock the next level? Those kind of guys. This is not one of those guys. This is an instant impact. That guy will play for them immediately, match up physically, no doubt kind of guy. And finally, Santarian Perkins, news broke that he had shoulder surgery. And I mean, quite frankly, guys, I wasn't planning on talking about this much other than I did see some of the reaction that was is misplaced, the right phrase. I thought that people were kind of freaking out, and there isn't a reason to freak out. I know when you see the phrase, you know, Santarian Perkins is out, right? It makes you wonder, like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean he's out? What happened? I don't understand that word usage, quite frankly, because I understand that the off seasons are important. Ideally, you would never have a player have to get surgery in the off season, but he played banged up this season anyway, clearly. SEC football players at the end of seasons get procedures done. Maybe they're not all like this, but having a guy that is a little undersized play the position that he plays and play the way that he plays, having an off-season surgery in January is not any reason to freak out at all. It's shoulder surgery. Is it ideal? Again, it's not ideal. You would much rather him just be doing all team workouts and participating in everything. But when you say he's out, what is he out for? What is he out for? I mean, there's no games. It's January 16th. They don't have a game for 8 months. What is he missing? The hot dog eating contest at the spring game? I did not understand the way some of it was phrased. I thought it was a little kind of over the top. And then some of the reaction I thought was over the top. He's got 8 months to recover from shoulder surgery. It'll be fine. He's an elite level athlete. He'll recover fine. He will work out. He will get himself into shape, and it will be fine. I just did not understand the reaction, and I guess I'm here to tell you guys, if you're kind of worried about it, there's no reason to this point to worry about it. It does happen. It is not, on the surface, a big deal. The only time it becomes a big deal is if the reporting is not about the surgery, it's about their setbacks and rehab. Then it becomes a problem. But right now, he's out from January workouts. He'll be okay. He's a third-year player. He'll be okay without the 15 practices in the spring. It will be fine. Is it ideal? No. Is it worth freaking out over? No. It's not missing anything. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. And if you guys, if you want to be a part of this podcast, if you have a business that you want to have a part of this, and I can prove to you that this works because, again, I have those three advertisers I mentioned on this podcast, and they have all renewed because of the success that they have had with us. Reach out to me, Borky@supertalk.fm. We'll get you hooked up, and I will prove to you that this works. To the comments we go. I think if Ole Miss beats State, they will be 12 in the AP poll. Might even be higher than that. All of the pressure should be off Ole Miss and Starkville Saturday. This is a game where you look at Mississippi State and their backs are against the wall a little. Absolutely. And so even after Tennessee, let's see, basketball schedule. Sorry, I probably should have had this pulled up already. So they're at Tennessee and at South Carolina and then host Alabama. That is their next three after this game. And I know South Carolina is possibly the worst team in the SEC, but look at what Auburn did when they went over to South Carolina. It took a bad call on a jump ball, or what should have been, it took a bad call for Auburn to go there and win by three. So winning on the road is obviously tough, but man, after this Ole Miss game, it's at Tennessee, at South Carolina, Alabama at home before they host Missouri, who's also good. There is free fall potential if they can't get this done on Saturday. You say this guy's not excited for baseball at all, referring to myself. As I told you guys before, I'm not going to be down on this team until they give me a reason to. I'm also not going to try to blow smoke up your rear end and tell you that this team's going to be great because there's no reason to. I don't think it's the best approach to do wait and see. I think that in the opinion platform, you should have an opinion about everything. But in this case, I am waiting and seeing with this baseball team. They should be better, but I am going to watch them play first before I tell you that they are. I am not going to engage in hyping up anybody until I see them play on this team. But I'm also not going to dump on them either because you guys don't want to hear that. There's a lot of unknowns. How effective is Hunter Elliott? What are these portal guys like? Did a couple of the returners take big steps forward? Stuff like that. So I'm with you. Free shot this Saturday. Mississippi State's defensive identity has been lacking for most of their conference games, except for South Carolina. Yeah, and even I wonder how much of that is just South Carolina not being particularly good, especially on the road. But yes, they have given up. They've given up easy looks. They've had teams shoot at a high percentage, and it's not just, they're losing games because the opponent got lucky. Auburn didn't get lucky on Tuesday night. Now, Kentucky had one player in particular shoot above his season-long shooting splits, but when you're giving guys wide-open looks, they're going to make shots. This the Kentucky game, it's not like State played great defense and Kentucky just made ridiculous shots all night. They made in rhythm within the offense open looks. And so that's kind of counter to a Jans team as well. And so they need Matthews to have a big, big game, I think, trying to completely take Dia out of it and force Ole Miss's guards to score at volume. Because if Dia's getting to the basket like he did on Tuesday night, they're going to have – it's going to be tough. You're picking State to win the game, but you think Ole Miss is the better team. You usually see a 1-1 split in the series every year, pretty much every year. Winning on the road is so difficult. That's what makes Tuesday so special, is because of how hard it is to go on the road and win. Counting out Ole Miss would be crazy, but I do think that they've got a very difficult task in front of them. That's okay. That's why I keep saying free shot. Hit on it already. Ole Miss very well could be capable of defending Hubbard, who has been struggling from the field as of late. I think he needs to have a good game for them to win. And he's got to be smarter. Part of me thinks that teams have been able to frustrate him into bad decisions shooting the basketball. I don't think he's taking great shots. A lot of contested stuff, a lot of moving side to side, off balance, not in rhythm, not open looks. I think teams have been able to frustrate him a little bit. And you know Ole Miss is going to try to do the same thing. If Brown Jones can be back on Saturday, it could be a long day for State. My problem, okay, it's not a problem. My question is, who do you take minutes from to get him a lot of run? I mean, I wonder if with the way things have gone and how well Davis defended the other night too, if Brown Jones is not just the guy that comes in to give Dia breathers. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how they handle him when he comes back now that Dia has come on the way he has. But yes, his defense and his athleticism should help, no doubt. Just question how many times Ole Miss can come out flat on offense and work through it to win a game. So far, so good, but you got to think it might burn them eventually. Yeah, I mean, hell, they held Alabama to 4 points through 4.5 minutes the other night, and they were down two. They've got to have a better start. Or else, you know, big man post play all day. They can't come out flat every game, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two sides of that coin, right? It's they can't survive coming out flat like this, but also eventually they're not going to come out flat offensively, right? I mean, at some point they're going to make a high volume of shots and all that. Ole Miss certainly plays a style of defense that can take a crowd out of a game. They did it on Tuesday for sure. We know the crowd seeing that Ole Miss logo out there will be in a frenzy to beat them. Yeah, I mean, you've got the rivalry pressure, and then you've got like the angst, right? So those two things combined should create a really good environment. You were freaking out, man. You were puzzled by the Perkins news. I mean, he was playing with that brace thing on his shoulder for a good bit. So Perkins is a stud and has a ceiling that is first round pick. He's got to gain some weight. Or play a true linebacker. But the problem with that is you don't want to go by way of LSU and put him in a spot that he's not best at and it cost your team. So he's a tweener. He's not big enough to play edge at the next level, I don't think, but he's an exceptional edge in college, and Ole Miss moving him to true linebacker would be a mistake too, I think. But what do I know? Love listening to Super Talk, but with your new job, you're not around the radio as much. Miss listening to y'all guys. Well, hey, we've got, you know, the show's in podcast form. So if you're listening to podcasts, it's there for you. Hot dog eating contests are important. I do wonder if you're going to get a more serious spring this go around. Because this past spring, I mean, how many guys actually needed that? Jackson Dart didn't need spring. Trey Harris didn't need spring. Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, like those guys didn't need it to be serious, right? It was a very experienced team. Now, I know there's criticism of them not taking it seriously, but I don't think what they did in the spring is why they lost any of their games, because they didn't lose to Kentucky because they lacked physicality. Like, that defensively, they played 13 highly physical and dominant games. I think it's more about coaching than anything else. And then missed opportunities, missed field goals, dropped touchdown passes, stuff like that. That's not because they didn't do much in spring. This one, though, I'm curious about, because you're breaking in a new quarterback that has very limited game experience. And you've got guys that you're going to depend on, both on offense and defense, that haven't played a whole lot. You know, Logan Diggs could, you know, like, those practices might be good for him, just to kind of loosen the rust off a little bit from missing so much football. Cam Franklin, these guys that they're going to depend on the defensive line and on defense, a more serious spring might benefit them some because of the lack of experience. Jans v. Beard's a really good coaching matchup. This time around, Beard has a much closer team to the style of basketball he wants, absolutely. What do I think is going to keep Ole Miss consistent? Defense. That we've said the phrase 100 times on the radio show, that defense travels, and it traveled on Tuesday. They're very intelligent defensively. They're very good at anticipating what their opponent's going to do. They're athletic enough to defend. They're athletic enough to do all the switching that they do. You've gotten much more physical on the block with Diaz's emergence. That's going to keep this Ole Miss basketball team consistent. They're going to run into a game or multiple games where they just don't have it and they get beat, because that's basketball and that happens. And it very well could be Saturday when they just get beat, because that happens. But I do think the consistency is going to come from that right there, because that, what they do defensively, is something that I think is their identity and not something that they're just doing good right now. This team aside, do you think some basketball momentum from the state fan base hinges on Saturday with the schedule after it, plus baseball coming up? Starting something like 2-5 in the league isn't great. Yeah, and you know, the baseball team is starting out the season ranked, which is interesting. Some people disagree with that, but I do really like their pitching coach a lot. I think he's done really great things for them. But what happens if basketball starts? I mean, they went 2-10 in football, and basketball starts slipping, and suddenly, I mean, they start with Manhattan and Missouri State in baseball, so they should get off to a fast start. But what happens if they don't? If they start losing baseball games too, their non-conference schedule is awful. Are you guys ready for this? This is so bad. It's Manhattan. They do have Southern Miss in the midweek. Manhattan, Missouri State, which I guess Missouri State's had a good program at times, but still. Troy, who's ranked in the midweek. Then they go to the Astros Foundation College Classic, where they play Rice, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. And then Queens, a two-game set with Old Dominion and Nichols, and then they start conference play. That's a gross schedule. Ugh. Buy your tickets fast. Oklahoma 0-4 in the league after being ranked in the top 20, not looking good. Yeah, he's going to get fired. Speaking of 0-4, please rant about Calipari in Arkansas. Again, those Hog fans throwing in the proverbial towel as of now. It's incredible, right? It's just... South Carolina did the same thing and wondered why it didn't work. Arkansas did South Carolina. They sat back and watched a coach at a school within their own conference underachieve to the point where all of their fans wanted him gone. And they expect to bring him in to their lesser resources and lesser prestige and expect different results. Arkansas, they got – it's almost like – they got intoxicated by the buzz, and that after they got turned down by at least one candidate, probably multiple, but publicly got turned down by Chris Beard, very publicly got turned down, that they had this need to create a splash as opposed to make the correct hire. Because when that happened, if you guys were listening to me on the radio show or on here, you heard me say, why do they expect excellence from Cal when they have less resources than Kentucky, a place in which he was underachieving. Why did South Carolina expect Will Muschamp, who did not work out at Florida, to come to South Carolina and succeed? Makes no sense. But Arkansas was so desperate to get a big, exciting thing. Wow, look at this. We hired Kentucky's coach. But everybody that was thinking about it saw right through it. And it was so easy to see right through that. How is the bullpen looking this year? Ask me after the opening weekend and I'll tell you. I know that's a cop-out answer, but Ole Miss is currently projected as a 5 seed, number 17 overall, around a projected 10.5 wins in the league. Yeah, I guess, what is it? KenPom has them winning 11 league games? How about that? Is it just you or is Walter Nolan not getting much draft hype at all? It's a quiet situation for him. The Senior Bowl is going to be really big for him. It is kind of nuts, and you've got guys from playoff teams or from bigger brands that play his position that are in the draft, and so that's going to grab media's attention. But the NFL teams will see the tape, and he'll work out at the Senior Bowl, and that'll take care of itself, I think. Thoughts on Ewers going to the draft and turning down $8 million? I don't know if I believe that $8 million number, if we're being honest. But either way, I mean, there was this thought that what happened with Carson Beck was going to open the floodgates for quarterbacks. And it is still so much smarter for you if you are healthy and you are projected in the first couple of rounds to go to the NFL. Because not only will you make a salary, and I know like their salaries, it's just going to be $1 million and there's some incentives and stuff and they get a signing bonus and all those things that could total up to about $8 million. But it's not just that. Brock Purdy had that really small salary, but look at what he's doing in endorsement money as well. It's just, and also you don't have to, I know they do all their classes online and have people do it for them and stuff, but the life of an NFL player is better. The financial opportunities are greater. And what happens if Quinn Ewers, you know, plays again next season and Texas is playing Texas A&M and he's, or whoever, but let's just say he stays and Texas is playing A&M and he gets rolled up on and blows out his knee. So yes, this 1 year of money was a lot of money and that's great, but can't go to the Senior Bowl, can't do any of the combine testing, can't do any of that stuff, can't prove anything. Maybe they still take you because you're so good, but I don't think he's the kind of prospect that's so good that he just gets taken in the first round with an injury anyway. When you're healthy now, you got to do it. That's why the Jackson Dart thing didn't make any sense either. His draft stock probably cannot get any better than it is right now. And I guess what I mean by that is I don't think having another season of college would change the kind of prospect that he is at this point. He is who he is at this point. And he's healthy. So he'll get to go through the Senior Bowl. And he'll get to do all the workouts and the pro days and all that. And so even if he would get a few million dollars to come back to school, it's not worth risking your NFL career chasing a short-term, large amount of money when you have your long-term career and more money in front of you when you are healthy. Wouldn't be surprised if Bama went to Rupp and won outright. Wouldn't surprise me either. And Auburn could be tested big time at Georgia. Yeah, exciting slate of basketball this weekend in the SEC. I guess lines haven't come out just yet. Let's see. Let me skip the I'll be honest with you, though. Because of the NFL, I will be watching mostly basketball. I mean, yeah, this is pretty nuts. Alabama, Kentucky will be great. You mentioned Auburn, Georgia. I'm not convinced that Tennessee will go to Vanderbilt and just roll them out now that I said that they're going to. They're all during the day, too. Ole Miss and State should kind of have the basketball world's attention on Saturday night, even though you got football going on. Arkansas fans think they could have had Beard, but they just passed on him. Yeah, sure. credit to some Arkansas-based media who have shot that down, but then you have some of their extreme homer media going nuts. Is that still a thing that they're doing right now? Like, they're still trying to deny that? Just like there's fringe Auburn people that are denying Kiffin turned them down? They're still talking about Beard? I did not know that, but yeah. What you're learning with this exercise with these two coaches is that people cannot be comfortable with Ole Miss being their equal. They can't handle that. And I mean, Arkansas's got all this history in basketball, but lately it's weird at best, right? And they can't handle getting said no to by somebody who's at Ole Miss. Auburn can't handle getting said no to by somebody that's at Ole Miss. And the ignorance of that reality is kind of why they're in the position that they're in to begin with. But you say South Carolina did it twice, Spurrier and Muschamp, but at least Spurrier was really good, though. I mean, Spurrier was great when South Carolina hired him. Muschamp had just failed at Florida. It's amazing how much of a disaster Arkansas sports is with that Tyson money to boot. I can't figure out how they have allowed it to descend. I mean, I guess baseball is still really solid, but Arkansas football and basketball is just it's the worst thing to be, man. It's irrelevant. They're not even bad interesting, right? Like, they're not so bad in football that it's almost – like, Florida State was bad interesting this year. And even though they didn't fire a coach, they, I mean, do a full staff change and big into NIL. And it's like, hey, we got to fix this because that can't happen again. And Arkansas football, I mean, they make another bowl game and they get a bowl win in the Liberty Bowl. And it's just – they're so – uninteresting. And basketball now, yeah, they have Calipari, but I mean, his allure was fading and has been fading for a while. Who has more money, Realtree or Tyson? Probably Tyson, and it doesn't matter. I would assume Tyson. We gave them money tonight, indirectly paid for Arkansas Athletics. Prediction for the game Saturday. I do think, I guess this is probably a hedge, I suppose, but I do think that Mississippi State's going to get them on Saturday. They're not going undefeated. I think they almost will lose eventually. And against a desperate team on the road is a pretty good opportunity to get your first loss in SEC play. But, I mean, I think they're going to go into next Saturday at 5-1. I mean, I think that they'll lose Saturday and they'll turn around and win Wednesday. And having a 5-1 start in SEC play is gigantic. And I think that they're going to get there. So I know that's just kind of Vegas hedging because they'll be underdog Saturday and favored on Wednesday. But I think it's going to work out exactly that way. And I sure hope that Saturday doesn't deter what should be an incredible environment on Wednesday. Regardless of what happens, but anyway, so I got to run, guys. Thank you so much for being here. We will be after the game. I don't know if it'll be live or not, but you'll definitely get something after the game, probably live. But it just kind of depends on when it ends. So anyway, we'll talk Saturday. We'll talk Saturday. I'll see you then. Appreciate you guys being here, and I will talk to you after the game on Saturday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.